Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Canto 3, very last part of chapter 4 and the very beginning part of chapter 5. I think I'll just begin with presenting the scene. We're in a forest in Vrindavan by the bank of the river Jamuna. And Krishna's dear most associate, Uddhava, has just heard Uddhava Gita. And once again, Krishna informed Uddhava, it's time for me to leave. He's Uddhava, who has such attachment for Krishna, such love for Krishna. And Krishna's informing him, there's no question about it. The associates of Krishna have gone. Krishna has explained why he's removed the members of the Yadu dynasty from the earth. Uddhava is also a member of the Yadu dynasty, but Krishna is not going to take him with him. He's going to leave him behind. But it's not like, I don't like you, I'm going to leave you behind. It's because he has some very confidential service. In fact, in narrating all of this, Shukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Pariksit that Uddhava, the Lord considered Uddhava to be equal to himself. That wasn't just, it was more than their friendship. It was because of the love of Uddhava, Krishna invested so much of his mercy in Uddhava that Uddhava was like his second self. It's really confidential in many ways. Even Uddhava's form was like Krishna's form. Not transcendental in that sense, but in the appearance of Krishna, of Uddhava's form. Uddhava's complexion was blackish like Krishna. Uddhava wore garments like Krishna's garments. When Uddhava came from Mathura to Vrindavan with a message for the gopis thought that Krishna had come back. Because Krishna left in the royal chariot of Akura. In fact, it wasn't just a royal chariot. It was a new one. A golden chariot. And when Uddhava came, he was sent in this very same chariot. They thought that Krishna had come back. And when Uddhava emerged from the house of Nanda Vasudeva and Devaki, Nanda and Jasoda. When he emerged from the house of Nanda and Jasoda, they saw his blackish form and the yellow dhoti, and they thought it was Krishna. And they began rushing to receive Krishna, and then they became disappointed. Oh, it's not Krishna. Anyway, he was not only visually like Krishna, and our acharyas describe it wasn't by accident. It was because of his deep love for Krishna. He was provided such a form of Krishna's likeness. But Krishna, during his manifest presence, whenever there was deep love for him, he would make an arrangement to show his form. He went to the abode of Mahavishnu personally, because Mahavishnu very much wanted to see his form. The Mahavishnu had made the sons of the Brahmana in Dwaraka disappear just so he could see Krishna, because he knew Krishna would come. Out of the protection of his devotee Arjuna, who had taken a vow, if I cannot protect this Brahmin's son, then I'll give up my life. So Krishna, rather than having Arjuna give up his life, he told Arjuna, I know where those sons are. Let's go. They went to the abode of Mahavishnu, just to give his association to Mahavishnu. Or Bahulashva, the king of Mithila, who was so devoted to Krishna, but was so involved in his royal affairs that he couldn't go and see Krishna. Krishna went to see him. Or Krishna personally went to retrieve the earrings of Aditi for on behalf of the demigods. And after he went such a great distance to kill Bulmasura, who had taken those earrings and hill, Krishna went to the heavenly planets just to give his, because he could have made other arrangements, but he went specifically to give his association. So this fourth chapter of the third canto describes the Lord also knew that the devotees of Naranarayan, the deity of Naranarayan, and the devotees of Naranarayan in Bhadrikashram were very much desirous of the Lord's association. But his pastimes were to conclude. But they wanted his association. So he sent Uddhava instead. Like with the gopis, that the form of Uddhava was so similar to Krishna. But Krishna imparted very, very, very confidential knowledge unto Uddhava, so that Uddhava could disseminate that knowledge on his behalf in Bhadrikashram to the dear confidential devotees who could understand it, because confidential things can't be understood unless you're pure and confidential. They'll be misunderstood. Some other meaning will be taken. This earlier chapters, it's filled with that kind of discussion, where Uddhava is just marveling at his Lord, who's the apparently filled with contradictions, and he resolves by his presence, he's the resolve of all contradictions. And devotees can understand, and non-devotees can't understand. He says, but to speak of animals, or the two-legged animals, you know, people who are living like animals, how are they to understand? But Uddhava could understand. And not only he could understand, he could explain perfectly well. So the Lord instructed him. And then he left. It was shortly after Krishna left, that Vidura came. And that's where the first chapter begins. Vidura comes on the scene in the middle of a forest in Vrindavan. He's just wandering in the forest, and there's Uddhava. Fancy that. Not a coincidence. So he immediately starts asking about Krishna. And several chapters follow where Uddhava's in ecstasy, just describing Krishna. And a whole night passed. They met around the time of sunset. And those three chapters go over one night, so it's sunrise, it's morning. Krishna left just the previous day. Imagine Uddhava's emotional state. And the one thing that's sustaining his life is Krishna's given him some service. So, with deep emotions, he rises and departs from Vidura, saying, two things, basically. I must go. The Lord has given me this service. Second thing is, but Maitreya is nearby. And he heard everything that I heard. So he can explain it to you. And besides, he's my superior by age. And so it would not be appropriate for me to take that role. Let him take that role. I have my service. You go to Maitreya and he'll instruct everything about Krishna. And with that, Uddhava stands and starts heading for Bhadrikashram. It's said where he will absorb himself in full concentration in unalloyed devotional service and fulfill that, satisfying the hearts of the sages of Narayana Rishi, their devotees, by giving Krishna and giving Krishna's confidential teachings to them. When Uddhava gets up to leave, Vidura has two very strong emotions. One is great appreciation for what Uddhava has already just shared, intensified feelings of separation from both Krishna and Uddhava, who reminds him completely of Krishna. And the second thing is, Krishna spoke of Vidura before he left. Vidura hadn't come yet, but just before Krishna left, he made comment, he made some remark about, it's very soon Uddhava will come. He's my very dear devotee. So he understood that he was in Krishna's mind before Krishna left. He just melted in ecstasy of love after he regained his composure. Here at the last verse of chapter 4, after passing a few days on the bank of the river Jamuna, Vidura, the self-realized soul, reached the bank of the Ganges, where the great sage Maitreya was seated. That's the end of chapter 4. First two verses of chapter 5 are, Shukadeva Goswami said, Vidura, the best amongst the Kuru dynasty, who was perfect in devotional service to the Lord, he didn't have further attainment, he was perfect, thus reached the source of the celestial Ganges, Haridwar, where Maitreya, the great, fathomless, learned sage of the world, was seated. Vidura, who was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence, inquired from him. So, a couple very important things. Going like a flashback to the first canto, the qualifications of a speaker of the Bhagavatam and the qualifications of a receiver of the message of the Bhagavatam. It's the first canto refrain. It comes again and again and again between different speakers and receivers. Here it is again. You know, that should tell us something. It's important. If you're going to speak the Bhagavatam or you're going to receive the Bhagavatam, there's some qualifications. When in the first canto where Narada is describing his life, his former life, and what his qualities were like when he was getting the association of the Bhaktivedantas who had come to the inn where his mother was serving. And his nature is very similar, perfect in gentleness. Well, at that stage he wasn't satisfied in transcendence, but in other words, the purpose of inquiry, what do you inquire about if you're perfect? It's not relief of distress or gaining material happiness. overcoming a problem. In fact, that's what he speaks about. And it's commented by our acharyas that his inquiry was beyond his level of spiritual attainment. Excuse me, the other way around. His spiritual attainment was beyond the level of his inquiry. But he was asking for the welfare of others. He was asking for another purpose also. He was asking about, well, I'll read what he asked about. Vidura said, so this is Vidura speaking to Maitreya. O great sage, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satiation nor the mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Please, therefore, give us direction on how one should live for real happiness. And Prabhupada's purport describes Vidura was told by Uddhava to go to Maitreya because he has this confidential knowledge that Krishna imparted to Uddhava. Instead of asking that confidential knowledge, he's asking something that is standard, you could say. You know, it's a Bhagavad Gita message. And there's a purpose behind it. He wants to examine, he wants to have others hear. Let me read the way Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this. He, in the first four chapters of this third canto, topics about Krishna were discussed. Now he wants to hear, or is introducing a whole section about creation. Or before creation, there's the shelter of creation. And the first four chapters were speaking about that shelter, the Supreme Lord. So this is opening up a section of the third canto Bhagavatam that's going to speak about creation. In a Mahapurana, there are 10 topics. This is described at the end of the second canto and at the end of the 10th canto, excuse me, the 12th canto. The Srimad Bhagavatam is in the category of Mahapurana. There's Puranas, and there's Upapuranas, and there's Mahapuranas. And Puranas have 5 topics, Mahapuranas have 10 topics. And the Upapuranas have 3 to 5. So that one of those topics is creation. But it's covered several times from different angles of vision, the topic of creation. And in this third canto, another version, another dimension of the process of creation is going to be unfolded. It's being unfolded on the basis that there's a source of creation, and that source is the Supreme Person. And the Supreme Person has very confidential features to him. That's also going to be discussed between Uddhava and Maitreya, but he starts not immediately going to the very confidential topics. He starts by describing the relationship between the creation and the creator, the source of creation and the emanation itself. So, in a similar fashion, in the Purusha Sukta prayers, because in the second canto also creation is described, and that the Purusha Sukta confirmed is described in the second canto, and this is the third canto. So, in the Purusha Sukta prayers, everything begins with, there's a source. And the source is the Supreme. And for the purpose of creation, the source expands himself into the Purusha avatars, and the Purusha avatars then in turn make arrangements for the process of creation. Very specifically, the Purusha avatars are, there are six categories of avatars, and their function is specific to creation. You don't have Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Chiradakshaya Vishnu in Vaikuntha. There's no, in our present position, there's the body, and within the body, there's a soul, a rebellious soul, and within the heart of that soul is super soul to guide the living entity's material journey. But when the living entity turns his attention fully to the supreme soul, he regains his spiritual body, and instead of super soul hiding himself within, super soul manifests himself, or the Lord manifests himself externally. He doesn't need to hide himself. And that same language is being used in this discussion with Vidura and Uddhava, where he who is Paramatma manifests his Leela form, which is an eternal form. And it sometimes manifests and sometimes manifests, because the whole topic in these the first four chapters was the departure of Krishna. The transcendental nature of Krishna's departure, very much like the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance. Janma karma chime divyam evam yuveti tatvataha. So, as that's there in the Bhagavad Gita, it's expanded, it's the graduate study, in the Bhagavatam. Four chapters, just in detail, describing Krishna's departure. Because it's not just Krishna's departure, is the whole Yadu dynasty, including his leaving of a universal form behind to bewilder the atheists, and it's all explained. So, before entering into those more confidential topics, which are going to come, they're hinted at in the earlier cantos, but the very strong foundational understandings of these 10 topics, including the creation that comes from the Lord. Imagine, if you don't understand the relationship of that which you see in any direction you look, matter, you don't see that properly the relation of matter to the Supreme, but you just talk about the Supreme. What do you want to understand? You're going to understand in terms of your misconceptions of what this place is, and its disconnect from the Supreme Lord, and then the Supreme Lord is, it's not possible to understand. So, for the composition of the Bhagavatam, these other subjects are necessary because they're in relation to the Lord. And the more confidential topics, they'll also be pursued by Vidura in course of time. Again, here's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes. Having received secret knowledge from Uddhava, who had been taught by the Lord, Vidura considered himself unqualified. Being despondent, he considered the following within his mind. So here we go, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is going inside the mind of Vidura, who has already been described as being a perfect being in pure devotion. Now he's going to disclose his inner thoughts. He refers back to a previous verse where the scene, you've seen that picture, it's a beautiful picture. Under a young banyan tree, there's Krishna, leaning with four arms down to his knees. And his dearmost devotee, Uddhava, with palms folded, is before him, weeping, hearing Uddhava Gita. And just at a short distance is Maitreya, the sage, who's hearing. That scene is being described in the earlier, the third canto, Krishna spoke to the sage Maitreya, who was attached to the Lord, attentive to listening, with head bowed out of love and joy, while glancing at me with affection and smiling, which relieved me of fatigue. So that was Uddhava speaking about the scene, because he was there. He was explaining it to Vidura later. So there was specific mention that Maitreya, you're very fortunate. You just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Of course, it was Krishna's mercy that happened. But therefore, you will be qualified. Whereas, in other words, previously you're not qualified. The qualification of Vidura surpasses the qualification of Maitreya. But because of his receiving this good fortune of the Lord's darshan, just prior to his departure, and hearing this very confidential dialogue with Uddhava, he will also become qualified. Comment is made that the Lord, who is Paramatma, but has now manifested a form of pastime, is the very source of the Vedas, and disclosed topics to Uddhava that are not even known by the Vedas. Just like, you know, a father and a son. So the father may be teaching the son. The father wants to teach the son. He teaches the son whatever capacity the son has to receive. But there's so much more that the father has that the son may not have the capacity to receive. Similarly, the Vedas are, the logic goes in a similar way, the Vedas are direct manifestations of the Supreme Lord. But there are things that are, that the Lord knows that even the Vedas don't know. And he imparted that to Uddhava, who is more confidential than the personified Vedas. Because there are confidential things that aren't so readily understood by the Vedas. You know this from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's this whole discussion between the Vedas about Krishna, the topic Krishna. Some say this, and some say that, and some say the other thing, and the confidential Vedas are just off on the side, just, you know, not even participating in the discussion. Because these things, you know how it goes on. People argue about something, and is it this or is it that? And confidential Vedas aren't even involved in those dialogues. And there are things, even the confidential portions of the Vedas don't have access to, that Krishna has and Krishna gave to Uddhava. That's the connotation here. And that, so, the Lord taught this secret knowledge to Uddhava, the greatest and most intimate among Krishna's devotees, not to Maitreya, who was also listening. So, there's an audience, it's two in this case, Krishna speaking to Maitreya, to Uddhava, because he's qualified. He's hearing very confidential things that Krishna wouldn't otherwise just speak to Maitreya. But because Krishna has blessed him by giving his darshan, Maitreya also has, to some degree, to a lesser degree, but to some degree has the capacity to understand because of Krishna's mercy. Then Vidura is thinking to himself, but wait, that cannot be. To understand if Maitreya heard that knowledge or not. In the beginning, I will not ask that great soul in case he does not know. I'm not asking the confidential subjects. In case he does not know. I will ask only some of my own questions. If he knows that knowledge, then he will say, oh, Vidura, I was taught by the Lord just for giving this knowledge to you. Please understand this knowledge about the Lord who has no birth but takes birth, in which the contradictions are resolved, which the Lord explained to me on his own, he will explain this. In this way he begins speaking to Maitreya. It's cultural, it's nuanced, it's highly personal. These are very refined persons. I mean, how to say it properly. These aren't ordinary persons. These are transcendental persons. So he wants to respect etiquette. He wants to set a standard. He wants to allow Maitreya in his own way, naturally, to disclose confidential things that he received. He doesn't want to challenge and confront him. He wants it to happen in a very happy, natural way. And so what's the question? The question is, how does one get real happiness? Isn't that a nice way of directly asking about Krishna? Because how can one get real happiness? Except through Krishna. But if one has other shelters, even, you know, we're practicing devotees. If we have other shelters while we're practicing Krishna consciousness, that real happiness isn't going to be experienced by us. Because we have other shelters. We have the right idea, but we're still holding on to our material shelters. So, how expertly, how subtly, how diplomatically, he's asking the same question. Although it appears, you know, please disclose confidential things about Krishna, without saying that. And for the reader of the Bhagavatam, we're getting the same opportunity. Not jumping to the 10th canto. We're hearing the 3rd canto, where Vidura is saying, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness. But one neither finds satiation nor mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is aggravated by such activities. Please, therefore, give us direction on how one should live for real happiness. And for the purposes of introduction, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has described there's angi and anga. There's the source of creation, and then there's the creation. And one should not see the creation separate from the source of the creation. Material consciousness is precisely that. One sees the creation. One sees this place is up for grabs. Grab as much of it as you can. And that's called material prosperity. Life is spent accumulating control over the material energy, which is all illusory. Because who's the controller of the material energy? The one controller, it's not us. But our business is to try to grab a hold of some of it. Whole life project, all of which will be taken away, just like that. It never was, it won't be in the future, and it isn't now. But that's material life. And it doesn't bring happiness, nor does it bring mitigation of distress. It involves one more and more and more and more and more in the complexities of material existence. And delusion. And forgetfulness of a real happiness. So his question is, please give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. Srila Prabhupada's purport, Vidura asked Maitreya some common questions, which was not originally his intention. Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya Muni and inquire into all the truths concerning the Lord. His name, fame, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc. And thus, when Vidura approached Maitreya, he should have asked only about the Lord. But out of natural humility, he did not immediately ask about the Lord, but he inquired into a subject which would be of great importance to the common man. A common man cannot understand the Lord. He must first know the real position of his life under the influence of the illusory energy. So how much of that are we hearing in Prabhupada's purports? You know, again and again and again and again and again. So when we hear something so repeatedly, that means it's important. And we still don't get it. I mean, conceptually, yes, but in terms of realization, no. Just like, you know, training a child. How many times must you say something? Again, again, and again, and again, and again. You know, maybe some modification of behavior, but if the change of heart doesn't take place, as soon as mommy and daddy are off the scene, it's, you know, whatever that other thing was that they said no. But what actually happens is that one becomes more and more entangled in the network of action and reaction that does not find any solution to the problem of life. There is a nice song in this connection. Quote, because of a great desire to have all happiness in life, I built this house. But unfortunately, the whole scheme has turned to ashes because the house was unexpectedly set on fire. Unquote. The law of nature is like that. Everyone tries to become happy by planning in the material world, but the law of nature is so cruel that it sets fire to one's schemes. The fruited worker is not happy in his schemes, nor is there any satiation of his continuous hankering for happiness. A similar, not the language is not identical, but a very similar message is discussed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3. You know, it's a good question, fundamental question. How to get out of this material existence? Part of it is to recognize it's not a good place to be. Because if we continue to operate in the same way and call it spiritual, you're only deceiving yourself. How do you bring about a transformation of consciousness? So, topics about the Supreme Lord is the Bhagavatam's answer, but part of that topics of the Supreme Lord is to understand the illusory nature of pursuing material happiness so that we don't continue to do it in a donkey-like way, chasing after that little carrot at the end of the stick, and we keep going for it. But alternatively, what's the path of real happiness? How to live one's life in that way? That's the question. And mind you, one more time, the person asking is already being described as a perfect being. It's not like he wants some information that he doesn't already have, or there's some, you know, like a secret key that unlocks a secret door, you know, that gets him to that secret place where it's nice instead of suffering. That's not his purpose. Certainly not, you know, fulfilling material desire. It's for the benefit of common people. It's also all these very subtle things that have been presented rather than directly saying, you've received some very confidential knowledge. Please open your hand and show it to me. He's cultured. He's not doing that. In due course, it will be disclosed. Okay, so end there. See if there's any discussion.